Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Good evening and hi. Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little bit of luck, some wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, psychics, channelers, mediums, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, shamans, and well, that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil that we call evolution. So sit back, take a break, kick your shoes off, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb Schiller tonight, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. In a very short time, we're going to be doing some readings, so if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It fills up fast. Deb's in the chat room, so if you have any questions, she's the one you IM. She's Barbara DeLong, co-host. I don't watch the chat room, so if there is a question that you type in, chances are she's the one that'll give you the answer. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at Native Storytellers if you want to learn more about him. I'm at BarbaraDeLong.com. And I don't think Deb has a website yet. Someday this woman is going to have a website, and she's going to have all sorts of wonderful, profound stuff up on it, and it's going to be exciting and phenomenal for all of us to see her putting her work up there. Hasn't happened yet, but I have managed to absolutely hound Jen Young into working on a website, and I'm pretty good at it, actually, so that I do believe that sooner or later we're going to get Deb getting a website up there, and maybe with some luck, we will manage to get her going in the field as well. She's going to school at the present time, so we have to give her a whole bunch of leeway, but the day will come, absolutely, when Deb will be reading along with all the rest of us. It's kind of interesting because, you know, everybody has the capacity, everyone has the talent, everybody has the gift. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to use it and develop it. And once that happens, you know, all heck breaks loose, and it's very, very exciting, and it's a wonderful experience, and I highly recommend it to everybody. I wanted to talk a little bit about energy before we get started tonight, because it seems to me as though a lot of people are saying, and a lot of people that don't normally talk about the energy are talking about the energy that seems to be hitting everyone this time of the year. And it's not this way every year, but this year seems to be a particularly unusual year. Now, it could be that it's just the one that we're focused on, and that's absolutely possible. But I've heard so many people saying, is the energy weird or is it just me? Now, in some cases, it really is just them. But for the most part, I certainly have felt that there is a different feeling to the energy at this time of year this year. And it does feel as though a lot of people are focusing on different things more so than they used to. It feels like there is a different level of consciousness that most people have sort of opened up to, so that there's a new awareness out there, and it's a personal awareness, and everybody takes it into different areas of their own collective consciousness, and it just feels to me as though the spirit and the energy of the time will never be the same again, and that's not a bad thing. Understand that, you know, underline that lots and lots and lots of times. It's not a bad thing. It's just that when we reflect back on Christmases past, and I certainly, I spoke the other night about how I have, you know, I have the pleasure, the honor. I was the last living relative, so I got all the old pictures. And I looked back at the Christmases past, and it was fascinating to watch how the Christmas trees and the packages under them change according to the economy, according to the time. And I think the first Christmas that I have a picture of is 1929, and it was truly a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And you know, they're I don't believe there were lights on the tree. I know that there were ornaments, and I could see the tinsel. And there were three or four packages under the tree, and that was it. And then you came forward in time, and you saw when, you know, I was a young child and what the Christmas tree looked like. And then as I grew older, and then I had a child and what his Christmas tree looked like. And then you know, he got married and he moved away, and so my Christmas tree changed profoundly. And then I started to have grandchildren, and then it became overwhelmed. And now I go to visit them around Christmas time every year so that I don't have that same overload here. But times, I guess, as we grow, as we change, as we evolve, as we get older, how we celebrate the holiday it changes as well. And, you know, every age, so to speak, is very unique and quite exciting. I know this year I spent Christmas Christmas Eve and Christmas Day alone, and me and the cats. And, you know, I certainly would have been happy to have had family around me, but it was really a very pleasant day, and it was really it was not horrible. And you hear people saying, well, so and so was alone on Christmas, and you know what? Alone is not bad, and it's just one day. And you can celebrate Christmas any day you feel like celebrating it. So it really, it doesn't have to be, you know, on the 25th of December. I feel that, as we come closer and closer to the new year, there are a lot of things that we want to look at. We certainly want to pay attention to whatever loose ends we have. And it's fascinating that people are actually finally paying attention. You know, it's sort of like, no, I don't want to scan and repair now. Ah, computers, please deliver me. It feels here as though, I'm sorry, my computer has decided to scan itself and is asking me if it wants me to repair it at the moment. And I said, not at this particular time frame. No, don't repair anything, please. Just blink at me, I guess. So we're at a place in time where we are tying up loose ends, where we are actually letting go of stuff. And everybody's going through this phase of cleaning out and decluttering, and it's fascinating to watch because when I was younger, this time was different. And so I'm fascinated by how what a cool time it has been for me in a very, very different way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But as we come to the close of the year, everybody is really focusing on the excitement of the new year, which is a wonderful thing. It is a fresh slate, so to speak. We're coming into a time frame where we absolutely, you know, it's a new age. You know, it's not the Mayan calendar. Our calendar only has 12 months in it. But every 12 months we get a chance to start over again, and we get a chance to sort of have a list of and make a contract with ourselves as far as what we want to do in this 12-month time frame. As an ex-school teacher, my years usually went from September to June, but I am finally out of that phase, and now it's just, you know, it's January to January. I'm in the flow with most other people now. And there really is the aspect of, okay, what is it I want to accomplish in this next 12 months? What am I going to focus on? What changes do I want to work on, and what new things do I want to bring into my reality? And I would suggest that, you know, it's the 29th, you have a couple of days, and it's an exciting time. So sit back, sit down, get out a piece of paper and just sort of list things for yourself, things that you really want to achieve and accomplish this year. I have a couple of clients that every year make a list and they keep it in their wallet. And one of the guys, when he comes for a reading, I always ask to see his list, and always it's ragtagged, and there are some things checked off and other things aren't checked off. And so it was really kind of fascinating to see how while I saw this, I never really got around to actually doing it. And this year I have. This year I have a list of things that I want to accomplish in this year. And I'm going to keep it in a place where probably in my calendar so I can keep looking at it and saying, okay, I have to work on this and I have to work on that. So that it's really kind of exciting to say, okay, I'm going to work on a book that I want to get out there. My goal is to actually have it published before the end of 2015. So that's a monumental thing for me to do. I have things that I want to put up on my website. I have the potential of taking this radio show to another radio station. I need to clean my garage out. I really need to clean my garage out. So that, you know, along with everything else, there are the mundane things that really need to get done. But it's important, I think, to sort of make a list so that you can check things off, so that you can really see as you get closer and closer to January of next year, of 16, that you have accomplished some of the things that you were working on and that you sort of promised that you were going to do. So it's kind of a very exciting time for me. I am looking so forward to 2016 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 2020. 2020, I think, is going to be cool, but, you know, we'll have to just, you know, wait and check that out. So I've got people in the queue here, and I am going to, if you have had a reading from me in the last month, please give other people a chance. And you know, I am hopeful that we can sort of get to everybody. There are quite a few people here, but we'll do our best to get everybody in. And we've got Sharon here. Sharon, hi. How are you doing tonight? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, great. I said thank you for taking my call. I was hoping to connect family on the other side or friends.
Well, you know, I have a different way of reading, so I will give you what I'm getting. And and you know, we'll just go from there. If there are spirits there, I'll certainly bring them through. You know, and I'm going to actually turn your mic off so you don't interrupt me as I whip through all of this. And at the very end, if you have any questions about anything that I've spoken about, I would be very, very happy to answer you know, a question about that. But let me sort of explain why I do it this way. It's when you're channeling, when you're reaching it to that level of energy, I guess we'll call it energy, when we're going to that particular level to bring information through to somebody, if they interrupt us, they kind of jerk us back down into the physical reality, into the mundane reality, and then we have to kind of work at getting back at that other level. So I turn the mic off so that you can't jerk me back, so that you can't stop the flow of energy that is coming from you for you. And if you have a question of any sort and I don't happen to touch on it, then that's just not something that I was meant to talk about with you. And if you know, there are lots of other shows on Blog Talk Radio that will let you ask a particular question, and I would you know, recommend that you scoot on over to those. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to tune into your energy, and I'm going to give you exactly what I'm getting, and we'll see how it applies to your reality, and then we will go from there. I'm seeing a lot of fish here. It's almost as though I'm in the middle of an amazing fishbowl, and it feels to me as though I see radiant fish that are almost glowing fluorescently, and it feels to me as though this has to do with the fact that you are swimming with the fishes, you are swimming with the spirits, your energy is one with the spiritual realm, and I feel it also has an interdimensional feeling to it as well. There is a radiance about your spirit, your soul, that is quite profound, and it does seem to attract a spiritual energy from the dimension where our friends and relatives go, from that dimension, and from other dimensions as well, so that you have this aspect of being almost like a magnet for energies that are unusual energies. I feel that there are lots of aspects about you that kind of set you apart from other people. You march to your own drum. You march to the beat of a different drummer, actually, and the drummer is you, of course. You have the aspect of not wanting to follow a given. You don't want to follow a pathway that is beaten down tremendously. You want to sort of make your own pathway. You want to open doors to new realms for yourself. You want to investigate and find new aspects of the spiritual realms that you carry within you. And it's amazing because you have thoughts and wisdoms and philosophies that actually bring questions into your mind so that you are moving into new directions. And I feel strongly that there is an aspect of teacher here within you, and it does feel as though on many levels. You teach on a spiritual level, but you also teach on a very mundane level as well, which is a really amazing thing. You are constantly helping other people understand not only the mundane things that are going on within your reality, but those of a spiritual realm and nature as well. On your mom's side, I feel a grandmother in spirit. It feels as though this is a lady, and I keep smelling, I smell things cooking like breads and pies and cookies and things like that. And if your grandmother on your mom's side is still alive, then this is your great-grandmother. But this is a lady in spirit who has been around you for a very, very long time. It feels as though she kind of is supportive of you, and she kind of bolsters you when you get down. And every now and then, you have an amazing amount of energy, and you really, it explodes from you, and after you have dissipated all that energy, you kind of have to step back and sort of regenerate your energy so that you can blast it again. This is the modality of this lifetime. This is your MO, so to speak. And so this is how you work with the energy that comes through from spirit within you. I feel strongly that there is a sense here of gathering stuff internally, and you gather it to the point that there's so much there that you have to manifest it within your reality. And when you do, you are tireless. You absolutely, it's almost as though you want to build a building overnight. You have this wonderful energy that just keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you until projects are completed. And it does feel as though, again, it's the way you have chosen to go through life this lifetime. I feel that there's you have the element of the inventor in you, and in past lives you have been one who has invented things, who has created things to make life easier for the general public, for the common man. And you know, I'm not saying that you invented the wheel. I don't think you did, but you were probably around when somebody did figure it out. I do feel that there is this aspect of seeing a need and filling the need. And what you do is you see the need, and then you kind of you sit back and you ponder and reflect, and it's almost like my head wants to hurt, because sometimes you think so hard that it almost feels like your brain is going to explode. And then what happens is you actually in dream state you find the answer, and then you have the quote unquote inspiration, and something manifests from that kind of a process. You are constantly looking for new ways to do old things. You are looking for new ways to solve old problems. And you do it not only as far as your reality goes, but people do bring problems to you, and they kind of dump them in your lap, and you do help them to solve their own problems. You are a problem solver. You are I see you with puzzles. I see you with a lot of puzzles. You really like to put the pieces of puzzles together so that you see the whole picture. And once you see the whole picture, there's a great deal of excitement in you. It really feels as though there is it's almost like when you solve a puzzle, it's almost as though you are an artist of some sort, you know, just creating a totality of beauty, whether it is whether it's a painting or a drawing, whether it's creating a new way to do an old technique that makes things easier for people, whether it's helping someone find a creative way to getting on with their lifetime and to make money for their family. You have this wonderful, compassionate, philanthropic feel to you, so that you are constantly trying to help the underdog. You are someone who always fights for the underdog. And in past lifetimes, you have stood up for those who could not stand up for themselves. And in two or three of your lifetimes, I mean, while you did stand up and while you did try to defend them, you lost your life along with them too. You were someone who in the 1700s, very much against the slave trade, and you actually tried to initiate a mutiny on a ship because you were against slavery. You were totally against slavery during that time frame, and not only did you lose your life, but all the slaves as well, because a ship came upon the ship you were on, and all of the slaves were thrown overboard. So during that lifetime, you did drown. And so there may be an aspect here of not being comfortable around large bodies of water. I know I'm afraid to wash my hair a lot because, I mean, I do wash it on a regular basis, but I'll do it in the sink rather than in the shower or the tub because I don't like getting my face wet. So there is a slight aversion to water on some level here for you that is really quite amazing. Underdog is, you know, you're very into helping people who can't help themselves. You are definitely one who has in past lifetimes helped the poor, helped the needy, helped the hungry. You have created shelters for people who didn't have homes. You've been in the presence. You've been alive at times when major catastrophes have happened in the past. You were near Pompeii, not at it, but near it when the volcano exploded and it flooded the town. You helped to pick up survivors. You helped to provide for them. And so, again, it's really kind of interesting. Major weather storms or catastrophes really draw your attention, and you have in past lifetimes been around after tsunamis hit a coast, or you've been around after, you know, during a time when major earthquakes have hit areas, and you've helped people to rebuild their lives and rebuild their homes and rebuild their villages and their communities. And this lifetime, you help people to rebuild lives that have sort of collapsed in on themselves. You help people who are ready to help themselves. And those are the people that are most drawn to you, because those are the people that have the ambition to find their dreams and to follow their dreams, and you help them to do that. You also, and there's a man in spirit here too. This feels almost, it's either uncle or brother, and I can't figure out which it is. But this man comes forward, and he tells me how strong you are, how capable you are, and that you have. This is interesting. This man is talking about a dream that you have, about a project, something that you want to do with your life. And for some reason, you're afraid to take that first step to sort of get the momentum going towards the achievement of this dream. And he's saying that you have a dream that is just so important for you and people around you, and that it's really important for you to take that first step, that dreams are only reality waiting to happen, and that if you took that first step, you would find that everything would flow so much more easily for you, and you would find that it would be much easier for you to actually to begin to realize the dream that it's something that you think about, that you talk about, that you worry about, and you're not afraid about it, but you worry it as a lot of people, you know, worry, chew on things. I guess the best way to describe it is you're worrying a concept. You're kind of not letting go of it, but you're kind of chewing on it and not getting on with it. And he's saying that in this next year, this is the time you're going to step forward. You're going to start to manifest, and you're going to start to put things in place so that your dream can become a part of your reality. You have a lot of creative energy. Important that you keep going, at, you know, touching into that creative energy and allowing it to manifest within your life. The more creative energy that you express, that you work with, that you deal with, the greater the abundance that you can draw into your life. You do see spirit. You know when they're around. You smell them. Fragrances do remind you of people who have passed over. And when you have those times when a fragrance kind of overwhelms you, you know, you will know that spirit is there. And I'm talking fragrance, not smell, but fragrance. And what I'm feeling especially is the smell of bread baking. I feel bread baking. And it comes from that grandmotherly person that I spoke of earlier. She's saying that you're not taking care of yourself, you're not eating appropriately, and that you have concerns about your health, and that she's saying, you know, you tend to overreact about a lot of things, but if you do have a concern, don't worry about it. Check it out with a doctor and let the doctor tell you you're slightly crazy. I do that often. Matter of fact, I'm having lunch with my doctor tomorrow so she can tell me I'm crazy about things. But you have an amazing energy, and you are yourself an amazing gift, and I think this next year, from what I can see, is going to be a profound one for you. Okay?
Okay. You know, you are absolutely unbelievable. I couldn't believe what you were saying. I mean, you were right on. Exactly.
Wow.
I'm kind of in shock. They were really talking to you. That's exactly what I am. That is exactly who I am. That's all I do. I'm not happy unless I am helping someone. And so I've just been in a rut because of I have a back injury that caused me to be very weak physically.
Uh-huh.
And that dream that you were talking about, I literally had a dream about it, about where to have it. Since I was young, I wanted to teach horseback riding to disabled children.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got older, I started working with at-risk children, helping kids in the system. And, you know, I'm always trying to help people. And I thought, I want to do riding for them, you know, for these kids that, you know, because the soul of a horse is just so incredible. But, you know, that takes physical strength, which I always had, but I don't really have it right now. But I was just looking at, you know, now there's lots of those places around. Back then, there weren't any. And
right.
I got to ask something really quick. This blew me away when you talked personally about the black, the slaves being against it.
Yes.
You know, it makes a lot of sense to me because when my first encounter with racism, I was probably about, oh gosh, 3, 4. And I was visiting an aunt, and she was the only white person in this neighborhood we were in. And we were in New York, and it was right before the riots. And I remember I was playing with this little black girl, and I didn't even, you know, I've interviewed with black people and then been asked, you know, well, who was the interviewer? And I couldn't remember their name, and they'd ask me, was she black? And I had no idea. I don't notice, you know, a lot of times. I couldn't remember if she was black or not. I could tell you what she said, but I couldn't remember her color. And I have always been, like, cowboy movies growing up, I always wanted the Indians to win. Hated the cowboys. Hated
them.
You know, and I've always been like that. Even as a little girl, I worked for Bobby Kennedy on his campaign, just calling people out of the phone book. But the little black girl and I were going to go in her house and get a drink because it was really hot. And her family was sitting at the table and they looked at me and they yelled at me and told me to get out of their house. They didn't want any, you know, white person or whatever in their home.
So
I couldn't play with the little girl anymore. But I, you know, the elder people in my family, they were prejudiced. And I would get into big fights, you know, from day one with family members or yell at them if they said anything. And I always wondered where the hell that came from. Because I thought you were supposed to learn that stuff. But I was born that way. I was born fighting for the underdog.
Yes, you were. Very cool.
And it's funny you said it, there's a gentleman in spirit. You almost used the same words in a letter that my son wrote me about that, you know, it's my turn. This is my turn. It was right before I started a certain job helping kids. And he used the same words you did when, you know, you've always had a great love. Now it's your turn to share it with the rest of the world and be a voice for the voiceless. But I'm just in shock, kind of. My my situation is, you know how evil doesn't like good?
Uh-huh.
And when you were talking about attracting spirits or energy, you know, that's true, but I think I've been attracting negative. I don't know. I've got a lot of people fighting against me right now. For the fishbowl?
Yeah, and I would disagree with that. I you know, frankly,
okay.
you are one who has always been someone who helped and who shared and who gave unconditionally. So you
right.
probably are attracting people that need that kind of energy, but sometimes they can drain you. I wouldn't call it negative. I would call it needy. And you just have to know how
exactly
to.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
You have to know how to, you know, give what's
boundaries.
Appropriate and then move on. Yep. And it's
boundaries,
your it's actually a lesson for you to learn how to lay down the boundaries, and
right.
but not negative. I don't think there's evil. I don't believe in evil. I'm sure that there are people out there that do. That there is positive
mm-hmm.
and negative energy, but that just because something is negative doesn't mean it's evil. It just means it's the balance to the positive. So
mm-hmm.
you know, you have a lesson. A lesson in boundary making, that's all.
Yeah. Well, I learned that the hard way, just being, you know, giving too much. But I haven't
uh-huh.
done that in a long time. I've really been out of being able to help anybody for a long time. I'm on the other end now, so, and trying
well,
to dig myself up alone.
Well, you know something, that's the way you have to do it. That's the way we all have to do it on our own. And we get a little help from our friends, and we get a little help from other people, and we make it. And you will make it.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, thank you for taking my call and for you're truly gifted. As far as you got me pegged completely. I mean, I don't think anybody knows that stuff about me.
well, you know, it's easy to get that kind of information if you don't interrupt. And that's why I shut
right.
the mics off.
Oh, I'm glad you do, because, you know, I have a tendency to say, oh, uh-huh, or thanks, or, you know, and I can see how it would interrupt you. Yeah.
And it does get in the way, because if you do in any way give a response, that's almost a trigger to, oh, go with that, you're right. And this way I just give what I get.
That's really smart.
My philosophy is that for me is a better way to go. Every intuitive, every psychic, every channel or every medium has their own format that works best for them, and this works best for me.
I do have a question, but I don't know if I is it okay to ask you this question, or
nope.
would you rather not? It's not okay. All right.
Now, if you know, I can give you logical and I can give you logic and
no,
I can give you
no,
common
no.
sense, but anybody can do
no.
that.
I almost wondered, because you said the mail that's true. I'm almost, it's kind of regarding that. I have a friend who I haven't seen in a long time, over a year, and I'm concerned something might have happened to him. I'm wondering if he's on that side or this side.
No, I felt it a brother or a father energy. It was definitely a relative that came through.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a brother, so it'd be a father.
Okay.
Father.
Well, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Calling.
Oh,
take care now.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Okie dokie. And we've got Laura here. Hi, Laura. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you. 757. That's Virginia, right?
Yes, it's Virginia Beach.
Oh, I love Virginia Beach.
Oh, thanks. I do, too.
I was down in Hampton, down in Hampton a year or so ago, and I used to go down to Newport News 4 times a year to read down there at a bookstore. So I know the area well.
Oh, yes, that's not too far from Virginia Beach at all.
Not at all. And I did another trip. I was in Norfolk for a while too. So yes, Virginia is a favorite haunt for me. It's kind of like it was for a long time a second home. So you heard my thing. I'm going to shut your mic off and I am going to give you what I get.
Okay.
And then I will open your mic up and see if you're still there.
Okay, I will be.
Okay. I'm seeing, it's really kind of neat. I'm seeing kites. I'm seeing all sorts of beautiful kites, and they're flowing through the air. It's almost like there's a convention of kite people there. And it feels as though there's a sense of that there is a flow of energy here that is really very profound. I feel strongly that you are sort of, you know how they say running a flag up the flagpole and seeing how it flies? I feel that you're doing that with a lot of aspects of your life. I feel that you are letting go of worries, letting go of concerns, and just watching them drift away. Now, the thing with the kite is that I need to say to you is that while you say you have let go of a lot of things, I feel that there are still strings to a lot of those things. So please make sure that you let go the strings. When you let go of an emotional problem, an emotional difficulty, if you say, I'm not going to worry about that anymore, totally let go of it. Don't just let go of it and you know, hang on to it so you can bring it back and kind of review it and chew on it some more. I feel, though, that there is a sense here of a lightness of spirit. I feel that you've gone through a period of time where you are lightening your load, where you're letting go, where you're allowing things to sort of flow from you. You're sort of it's not like you're decluttering your life as much as you are purging yourself of emotional things that you have held on to for a very, very long time, and you're just sort of letting go. And it's sort of like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I can't solve it. I can't change it. I'm walking away. I'm releasing, and I'm allowing myself to move into another arena in order to sort of evolve and I'm going along my pathway. I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to wait for people. I'm going to keep moving on my pathway. This is a new philosophy. This is a new genre, a new format for you in life. It feels as though you always have been waiting for other people, whether to catch up or to get moving. You've always held yourself back waiting for people, and I feel that coming into this new year, you're going to start moving along your pathway, knowing that if someone is appropriate to be in your life, that they will definitely they'll catch up. And it's sort of, you have put your life on hold for a lot of other people, and you've done it out of kindness and generosity. You've done it out of love and compassion. But the reality is, by waiting for others, you have held off your own movement on your pathway towards your destiny pathway. So it's really important in this next year for you to sort of start flowing along the pathway, starting to feel the flow of energy as it draws you forward, and going with it, moving with it, not trying to place yourself somewhere so that someone else can do something with you, but to understand that your pathway is yours alone, that even though if you're in a relationship, you know, the other person has dreams as well, but their pathway is their own, and you can be partnered with somebody and your pathways take you in different directions and still have a partnership and a loving relationship with that person. You don't have to have the same the same dreams. You can have different dreams, and you should have different dreams. Everybody should have their own dreams. I feel strongly that you're coming to a time frame where you're beginning to understand that you have to do your thing in your time, in your way, and if people are meant to be in your life with you, they will be flowing along at the same pace, and you won't have to pace yourself, you won't have to wait, and you won't have to run to catch up. Do your thing in your time. It is your time. This coming year is definitely a time for you to focus on your own things, your own priorities, your own passions. I feel that you have started to uncover those things that are what we call passions within your life, that you are finding things of a creative nature that you enjoy doing. Please pursue them, and I encourage you greatly to open yourself to as many different creative avenues as is comfortable for you, because I feel that you've closed yourself off for a long time. You haven't been doing things of a creative nature that are constant enough to open and create a good flow of energy, so that it helps to generate the energy that is needed to move your life forward. You've been doing a lot of introspective thinking. You've been doing a lot of analyzing. You've been doing a lot of comparing yourself to other people. Please don't do that, because nobody is the same as you are. Make sure that you understand that you are unique and you are an individual, and so that you can't compare yourself to others, because it doesn't work. Everyone is so unique that there's no measuring stick, to say, this is better than so-and-so or things like that. You are a very unique, unusual person. You have an amazing, you have a plethora of material inside of you to share, and it feels as though you've only started to understand that the gifts that you have within you are amazing gifts, and you can utilize them in many ways to enrich your reality. I feel that you carry great ancient wisdom. And I feel you also have the gift of laughter inside of you, which is something that you haven't been utilizing as much as I would like, but it feels as though you're going to start expanding on that, and you're going to start using your laughter to sort of help people to heal and help people to lighten their spirits as well. I feel strongly that in lifetimes past, you've used laughter as a tool for healing and a tool for education and a tool for teaching and a tool for, to sway the masses with the laughter that you can generate. You have been on stage in many lifetimes. In ancient Greece, you were a man, because they didn't let women get on the stage. And you were an amazing orator, so that your words can help to sway the feelings and the insights and the perspectives of the masses if you want to. I feel that you've got an amazing voice, and that voice could certainly resonate in the hearts and spirits of many people if you choose to. The aspect of acting and the aspect of being on stage is something that I want to take you back into Renaissance England, where again you were a male performer. And you absolutely loved being on stage, and you loved playing to the crowd. And in many ways, there is drama in your life at this point at this point in time. And there's been drama in a lot of different places in your life. And there's a part of you that rises to the occasion and is able to speak the appropriate lines to sort of take the drama down a notch or two and allow laughter to come in. And once you allow laughter to come in, then tension is dispersed, and there is a great feeling of joy and celebration, because you haven't gone the wrong way. It feels to me as though a lot of situations coming into your life over the last couple of weeks have been sort of mirrors to remind you of how you have grown and how you have changed, and how much a better person you are, that you do take the higher road for the most part. I have to admit, taking the higher road is always harder than, taking the lower road and sort of slinging mud at people who are slinging mud at you. But if you take the higher road, there is a feeling of achievement and a feeling of accomplishment that you haven't sunk to the level of those people that you know are still struggling with other aspects of development. And taking the higher road is something I see you doing more and more and more. And please understand that we're human, so we do stumble. We're human, so we do make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we can't pick ourselves up and get back on the pathway. And it's important for you to understand that the reason we're here on the planet at this point in time is that we are learning things, and we learn as humans, as a species, we learn by making mistakes. And so I have to say you've done a masterful job of a lot of learning in the past. Some of the lessons that you've pulled to yourself, you've pulled a number of times, sort of repeating a pattern to make sure that you understand that it's not healthy for you, and then moving forward. You're at a point in time, I would say that you're right at the fulcrum of change. In other words, you really understand where change needs to be in your life, and you're about to step into tip the scales in that direction. There's wonderful new change coming for you, and the new year is opening up to an amazing new. It feels almost as though you're coming into a new aspect of yourself. So you're birthing a new aspect of yourself. You're coming into a new, the ability to put yourself more clearly out there so people understand you better. And I do feel that this is going to be a year in which you do attract to yourself new people that are going to have similar philosophies as you do. You're going to find that small crowd of friends that you have is going to expand greatly, and that there is going to be a lot more celebration and a lot more joy in your life than there has been in the past. I have to say also, though, that the element of writing keeps coming up here. I feel that you have written in the past, you've written books in past lifetimes, or the equivalent of what a book would be. You have definitely put thoughts and philosophies down. You've recorded them on paper or papyrus or stone. And it does feel as though your thoughts have been profound. And not only, and it's fascinating, because when I come into this aspect of philosophy, always have you been a woman when this aspect was worked on in a life? Often you had to write under a pseudonym so that your work would be published, so that the men who had the printing presses, or the men that reproduced the books, would actually do it. For some reason, women were thought to not have brains, but it does feel to me as though you were amazing, and your work has always been looked at and studied, and it's been work that has always, it's kind of neat. Your stuff has always had an edge to it, has always challenged the traditional, has always said, you know, what if, has always stretched beyond what is the accepted philosophy of the day. You have always sort of brought forward the new paradigms, put them out there, and let them hang so people could wonder just what was coming next. And I do feel that that's where you are at this point in time. I feel that there is a lot of newness coming into your life, and I do believe that your ability to meet the challenges of the spiritual pathway you're on, as well as the new stuff that's coming into your physical reality, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how you keep a balance between the two. That's been the challenge in a lot of places, and I do feel that you're going to do this very, very well this time. And if you do sling yourself out of balance, you know how to bring yourself back into it. So, and you will recognize when things are out of balance far more rapidly than you have in the past. In the past, you've tried to rationalize that they weren't really out of balance; they were just imbalanced in a different way. But I don't think you'll do that anymore either. I do believe that what you're going to be doing is to saying, this isn't working. You know, I have to either bring it into balance or move into another direction. And that's great maturity of spirit. So I feel that you've done amazing work. There's amazing growth. There's amazing achievement here on many different levels, but the spiritual especially. It seems to be a focus for you, and it does feel as though this is an area that is going to open up for you dramatically and allow you to sort of see aspects of yourself that you have suspected are there, but didn't want to admit to, because you were afraid if you admitted to them that you would be wrong. But you're right. The greatness is there. The mastery is there. The wisdom is there. And the talent is there. And I encourage you to embrace it all. Okay?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Very overwhelming. Beautiful. I mean, just everything that I wanted to know about this coming year coming up for me, and I thank you very much for that.
You are so welcome, but please write that book.
Okay, I will. All right, thank you so much, Miss Barbara.
You're so very welcome. Good night now.
You have a happy new year. Good night.
Oh, I'm going to. You too. Bye-bye.
Right.
Now.
Bye-bye.
I'm always so lucky because the neatest people call this show. It's just, it always amazes me how the right people are always there. And this guy is a special guy. This is somebody that I love to read, and I'm so glad he finally got through. Hello, Melvin. How are you?
Hello, Miss Barbara. How are you tonight?
I'm just fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Could be a little better, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah, well, you know, you're alive and breathing. You can't ask more than that sometimes.
That's true.
I'm glad you finally got through. I've seen you in the queue a couple times, but you never hung in there long enough to get called on. So I'm glad you did.
Oh.
Glad you made it tonight. So I'm going to shut down your microphone, and I'm going to give you what I get, and then I'll open it up again after I'm all done, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, Melvin. It's amazing when I touch into your energy. The thing that I feel the strongest is the healing energy that you have. And I know you work in a hospital, but that's not the kind of healing I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of healing that helps people to heal their lives. I do feel that there is an aspect here of touching, helping people to see how healing can happen within themselves and helping them to find a way to make their lives better. And I feel that in many past lifetimes, you've been one of those that I almost want to say you were like a cheerleader. You were somebody who cheered people on to actually creating new lives, new directions. I feel strongly that in past lifetimes you've been the kind of person that would help people to pull themselves up from failure or from tragedy and help them to sort of focus on the fact that there is a future, there are things to reach for, there's happiness and joy and there's love in all aspects here. And you have encouraged people to be open to find that greatness within their lives, and they have. You've helped people believe in things that they had lost hope for, and in helping them believe, you help them to actually be able to manifest those aspects within their lives. And that's something that I feel that you're doing this lifetime as well. I know you're going through a tough time, but it feels to me, I feel strongly here, that you are not just wrestling with the difficulties, but understanding that there's always a way through. There's always a way to achieve. There's always a way to find abundance and light and to find the things that you need to make your life whole. I do feel that every now and then you have one of those crises of faith where you wonder, am I going the right direction? Is life going to be okay for me? Are things going to pan out? And absolutely they are, but it's just a matter of keeping moving forward and not losing hope and not losing sight of the direction that you're going in. the things that are drawing you are aspects of your life that you have experienced in other past lives, passions. They're passions of yours, helping people heal, helping people to grow, helping people to open to the passions they have, helping children to grow, helping children to understand how sports can better enhance their adulthood, and it's something that you love, and it is definitely a passion. I do feel that before the end of this next year, you are going to be involved with sports teams and helping to coach and things like that. But you have to have the mundane reality too. So you have to be working in the mundane reality. In past lives, you have worked with children. Not as a teacher, but more as a coach. So the element of coaching, whether it was in a sport of some sort, I can take you back to ancient Greece and Rome. I can take you back to when the Olympics first started. That you helped to train some of the athletes. You were an athlete yourself, but you were never good enough to actually compete. But you were good enough to and had the ability to help people train, and that's where your great gift was. That you were able to help keep people on point. You were able to help them understand the process they had to go through in order to achieve what their dreams were, and in so doing, you achieved your dreams. I want to take you also back into. I want to take you back into South America, and South America, I'm in Peru, I believe, and it does feel as though there's a sense here of competition, and it feels as though you trained people for. It's interesting. You trained warriors by teaching them games, and the games prepared them for battles that they were going to have to fight in. So you gave them the tools that they needed through really almost recreation so that they had the talents and the skills to be able to survive a battle of some sort. So again, you were someone who trained people and helped them to survive. In life, I want to take you back to ancient Rome. You did train gladiators. You were not one yourself, but you were one who trained them, who understood the process they needed to develop the skills that would help them to provide to live through the games that they were a part of. And so you have that aspect of a trainer inside of you, and it is, you are driven, and that this is something that is really important for you to take part in. But I don't necessarily think it's a career. I think it's a calling, and so it's going to be something, from what I can tell, that you do. I do feel that you're going to be paid for it, but I don't feel that's going to be your job. I think that you will get funds for doing the work, but I don't feel that. I feel that there is also a job that deals on another level with the healing process and helping people to heal, to find. Greater stability in their lives so that excuse me, there's a two-pronged effect going on here. It feels to me as though you're moving in new directions. Spirit is saying absolutely that you need to basically focus on yourself and your direction and your life, that there are other people in your life that are sort of trying to sidetrack you. And while it's important that you help people, it's important also that you continue to pursue those things that are most important to you. I know family is very important to you, and I know that you're helping your son. But it does feel to me as though that's something that at some point other people are going to have to step in as well, and so is he. So that it's a matter of you know, keeping your focus on where you need to take your life so that you can be the so that you can have the richness of spiritual energy that will enable you to help others. But do understand that you can't take over their lifetime. You have to be a part of their growing process. You have to be supportive of their growing process, but you can't do it for them. And sometimes you forget that, and sometimes you get so caught up in helping other people that you forget that your life has been put on hold, and your life can't be put on hold anymore. Your life has to be focused on getting better and richer, as far as not richer monetarily, but richer spiritually. You have an amazing capacity to you can move mountains. You really can. you just have to sort of trust yourself and listen to the higher consciousness inside of you, because you have a great richness there. I know that you have a military background. I know that because you told me that. It's not something that I actually see. But I do feel that a lot of that discipline is going to help you in many ways. It's going to be a different kind of discipline, but it's going to open doors for you so that you're going to be able to achieve those things that you so want to achieve. There may be a move, a small move, not one of great distance, but it does feel that there may be relocation around the June timeframe. That it feels that there is a sense here of you locating to a different place. This may be career oriented as opposed to what your physical reality, what your physicality is, and the aspect of finding a partner to share your life with is in here too. It does feel as though relationship is something that you need to work on, but it cannot, must not ever be the only focus. It has to be one of the things you focus on, but not the only thing you focus on. I want to underline that. This is not somebody that you look for, you wait for them to come into your life, and I do not feel that at this point you have met that person. But I do feel that that is coming, and it's coming between now and the June timeframe. So it will confuse you. It will definitely complicate your life in a very happy, joyful way. And it feels as though a lot of the things that you've been struggling on and for are going to actually, you know, settle down, and things are going to flow more easily for you in this next year. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
You and are you, the one.
And
yes,
you will,
ma'am. You are the one.
You will
thank
keep me
you,
posted.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Can I squeeze in one question?
Well, it depends on what it pertains to. If it pertains to something, I've said yes. If it doesn't, then no.
Oh, okay. It's something different. I was just wondering about my car.
I actually, you know, from the energy that I've been working with, I have to say that Spirit had nothing to say about your car. I am pretty sure Spirit knows that you'll work problem out, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Barbara. I love you. Thank you.
I love you too, Melvin. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oof. Okay. So it is very interesting that you know, I'm sure people out there are busy with families and doing things and I don't know, taking garbage to the dump or whatever. But it's very interesting that you know, Spirit sort of arranges for the right people to be at the right place at the right time, and I have actually become very, very comfortable with being very accepting of the right people call at the right time. That you know, if people call in for readings, that it's the right time for them to have a reading. And if there aren't people to read, that's appropriate. Then that's when I talk about spiritual stuff, which is, of course, my most favorite thing to do in the whole world. And happily, because we're in the spiritual category, I know that there are ears out there listening about, you know, what the heck is she going to say? I would say, especially at this time of year, you know, it is the dark of the year. I know we've passed the darkest whatever, but it is the dark of the year. And this is a time when people's thoughts go to people who have passed over. This is a time when people start to sort of hibernate, when they go inside themselves and they kind of are looking at what have I accomplished and where am I going. And it's a time in which we reflect on if there are changes that need to be made, what changes are we going to make? It's you know, the Earth Mother is in hibernation. She's sleeping. She's sort of making ready to bring forth spring as it comes, you know, to the March, April timeframe. And we're like that too. We spend these months usually working on projects and we're focused on aspects of life that we want to change and we want to evolve into. I know that just from what I've seen, the people around me, they're all focusing on new directions, getting into new understanding of what life has to hold for them. And the element of understanding, you know, a pathway, that we're on a spiritual pathway here. We're not just here living out a lifetime, and that, you know, we're not wasting time here. There's a reason we're here. And it's sometimes befuddling to try to figure out, why am I here, and what's the purpose of my being here? And I don't think that ever we know the exact purpose of each lifetime. Probably when we cross over, we do. But during a lifetime, I'm not sure that we're meant to know what the purpose is. Sometimes, you know, we are intrigued and drawn to the spiritual realms, and so we feel that there's a spiritual point in our being here, and that's probably very true. But sometimes, sometimes we're here just to give aid or help to someone who is loading groceries, that it can change their whole life. The purpose of a spirit within a lifetime is very actually very, very different than what we perceive it to be. It's we're not all meant to stand on soapboxes and speak profoundly so that nations stop and listen and peace is restored and humanity becomes the next big guy on the cosmic block. Spiritual has to do with how we live our lives and how we address our fellow man. And it's something that's very important that we all should pay attention to. I don't know that we all do. We all don't do it all the time. But we do focus on it more and more at this time of the year. And it's oops, cat. Oh, my goodness. I love my cats. I truly do. But they do complicate things greatly. Okay, I have my switchboard back again. Okay. We've got Erica on the line. Hi, Erica. How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. I am going to, you know the drill, I assume. I'm going to give you what I get, and then I will open your mic back up. Okay. I'm seeing shooting stars here. It feels to me as though you are so connected to the stars, it's unbelievable. There's an aspect of looking to the sky, of wondering where home is, of knowing that you came from the stars. And I truly do believe that all of us did, that this incarnation is on this planet does not mean that our spirits are tied to this planet, because I don't believe they are. I feel that the shooting stars are almost like wishes you put out there, like dreams you put out there. And by looking at the stars, by seeing shooting stars, you're understanding that your message is being delivered in many ways, shapes, and forms. I feel that there is a great searching aspect, and almost like an explorer within you, trying to discover purpose and direction, trying to discover and understand, who you're supposed to be. I feel that you're struggling with what you want to be if you grow up, and that's a great place to be, because there's so much potential, there's so many different directions that you can go. It's really quite profound. You've had lifetimes that really run full spectrum, for sure. I feel a number of lifetimes in which you were someone who you were like a lawyer or a judge, that you did help to mete out justice in several different time frames over your journey on this planet. Excuse me. You were someone who decided right and wrong. And in that deciding role, you were actually in one past lifetime, as I take you into Spain, it was as a Monsignor, you ran a monastery, and you were the one that made the decisions as to you know, who was right and who was wrong when there were debates, or even in the town, in the local town, they brought people would bring their difficulties to you and you would settle them, and you always did it fairly and justly. You didn't overwhelm them with with religious philosophy. You were a very down-to-earth, commonsensical type person in that particular lifetime. You have also been a judge, or the equivalent of a judge. I call it a judge, but you know that may not be the term that was used in that society. I feel that you were one who judged people. You have a Viking lifetime here that is really kind of profound. You were not the leader of the tribe, I guess, and this goes back to 900, in that time frame, around in the 900s. You were not the leader of the group, but when there were debates, when there were arguments, when there were problems, people were brought to you, and you actually helped to settle whatever debates there were, or if there were fights, you did establish punishment of sorts. But you were always fair. There was always a fairness about what you met out as punishment. Or and it's interesting because you put great value on the human spirit. You never had someone killed. That to you was not a punishment. That was a reward, because when you killed people, of course, you sent them on to the next lifetime, or you sent them on to Valhalla or wherever. And so you always gave a person the opportunity to make right on whatever their wrongs were. You in Africa, you were also the leader of a tribe, and in that particular lifetime, and this goes back to probably the 1200s, that when something happened within the tribe that was wrong, when someone stole or when someone lied or when someone cheated, you were the one that sat with them and talked to them about what they had did and why it was wrong, and you sat with them until they understood it. And sometimes you sat with them for days and weeks on end until it finally became clear to them that you know what they had done was inappropriate and wrong. And there was very little in that particular lifetime. There were very few times that there were problems, because your wisdom and the wisdom in which you guided the entire community was so respected that there really wasn't civil unrest, and there really wasn't crime of any sort. And nor did the tribe, you know, go out and try to conquer somebody else. They had their territory, and they respected the boundaries of others, and it was a very peaceful lifetime for you. You have that aspect. Excuse me, this lifetime of seeing justice and knowing when it isn't appropriate, of seeing wrongs and not being able to right them. There's a frustration here for you because you do understand what's going on in many cases, and yet you don't have the power to exert any type of judgment or any type of justice here, and it does frustrate you from time to time. The other thing that I see very strongly here for you is that you have the perception. Your perception is absolutely phenomenal. You really can see into people's souls. You can see into their personalities. You know when they are not being honest or when they are not being kind. And you have the ability, it's not total, but you have the ability to help them perceive when they are doing wrong. Excuse me, not everyone listens to you, not everyone will pay attention to you, and that's frustrating too. But that's life, unfortunately. I feel that there is great strength in you, there is great wisdom in you, and again, the element of the stars comes up here over and over and over again. I see the entire night sky, and it's so clear, it's unbelievable, so that you are... Oh, you're in the desert here. This is a lifetime in which you spent as a nomad, and you wandered in the desert. There are camels here, and there are all sorts of sheep and stuff like that. And you wandered with the people that were. It feels as though it's a large group of people, but they're almost all family. So it was a very prolific, you had a very prolific father, apparently. Anyhow, you guided these people from, you know, to, from, you guided them across a desert, not like Moses, but you brought them to the shoreline of Africa, and you established a community there, and it feels as though you taught them to fish. I feel strongly that you weren't necessarily born to this community, and yet you came to this community and you ruled it, but you did it so fairly that it was almost as though you did it by a council of some sort. You didn't take leadership. You had everybody participating in determining what was going to be done, though you were deferred to greatly. It was basically more of a communal thing, and it feels as though you had a very the community flourished. It flourished for at least 1,000 years, and it was a community that was based on kindness, compassion, sharing, and love. And you know, you don't hear a lot about communities like this. The history books don't write about them. There's a lot of writing about wars and you know, one person trying to take over other people's territory and things like that. But the lifetimes that I see you in, it was more of a communal grouping of living. It was a sharing of responsibility, and there was peace and there was tranquility. You have a heart that yearns for peace and tranquility. You have a heart that yearns for everyone getting along, and when people don't get along, it bothers you greatly, and I feel your stomach being upset, and your stomach seems to be that which signals you that something is wrong, and as soon as you recognize it, you can make it right, and for the most part, you can always make it right. It feels to me as though of late there have been a couple of many times when your stomach has started to get upset, and you've realized that there is some sort of conflict going on that can easily be put to rest and you know, put down. You are a peacekeeper on a grand scale, and you have been a peacekeeper in many past lifetimes. This lifetime, it sort of takes on a different type of focus, but you are the person that helps people to mend walls. You are the person that helps people to understand when there has been confusion, and you know, you may not they may not reestablish friendships like they had before, but at least they don't have enemies, and that's what's important to you. The element of having peace and forgiveness, it's very important for you. You actually were one of the you were one of those that followed in the steps of Jesus. You did take on his message and you did preach it, though I don't believe you were a disciple or one of the apostles. You were someone who went out on your own and you took the message of peace and love and you shared it with as many people as you could. You actually made it to China. And it feels as though though you were not of Chinese descent, you did sail and you did come to China, and you did speak with many of the masters and the priests in that community. And while you had similar philosophies, of course, it was you had the language problem at first, but you did learn the you did learn the language. And China is a place where I feel you are drawn to. China is an area where your soul and your spirit did find great acceptance and great tranquility, and the element of the singing bowls, those are Tibetan, but the singing bowls of meditation, of peace, and of tranquility is very, very important. I see you living on a mountain in one of the lifetimes you were in China, and I believe you were in China for at least 6 or 7 lifetimes that keep popping up here. And each time you were one who was looking for inner wisdom and inner awareness, and I feel that is a pathway you've taken you've chosen, and you seem to be following this lifetime as well. It's a very exciting pathway for you, and I do feel that you're beginning to open some very unusual doors, and you're finding within yourself the understanding and the gifts and the talents and the skills that do come from out of time. I feel that you're going to be drawn to things that are unusual and unique, and you're going to be able to utilize them to bring great abundance and richness into your life this next year. Now, that doesn't mean that you know, it's a multi-million dollar thing. It feels more that the richness has to do with enabling you to be able to utilize your talents and skills to help other people and to more greatly embrace the spirit that is within you so that it can manifest within your reality as well through creative endeavors. Speaking is something that you do beautifully. I would say that writing as well comes in here. And you know, there are a lot of creative skills and talents here. I would suggest you play with them. It doesn't mean that you are, you know, going to suddenly get rich by selling stuff, but it does mean that you are going to get rich by the experience of creating. And the more you create, whether it's not havoc, but you can also create order out of chaos, which is a kind of cool thing too. So understand that anytime you're using your creative talent, you're enriching your spiritual energy, and that is going to move your life forward, and it's going to expand your mundane reality so that brings you greater richness as well. It's going to be a really cool year for you. I feel that there is massive change. And while change may not be something that you are always excited about, it does feel as though that this change is really good change because you've outgrown a lot of things within your reality, and it's time for the new to come in and to sort of lighten your step, lighten your mood, and lighten the spirit within you. Okay?
Yeah, and it was pretty shocking when you were talking about, like, judgmentship, because I do want to become a judge in this lifetime. And I'm only 21, but, yeah, that's my career goal.
It sounds like a good one. It sounds like it'll fit you very, very well. And it's, I think it feels like it's a good choice for you. It really does. It's a good direction to go.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that part was shocking. But thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. I am going to call it a show. I have another show that I have to get ready for too, and we are done with the chat with the queue, so it kind of ties it all up very nicely. I want to thank all of you for being here tonight. Be back on New Year's Eve. I'll be here New Year's Eve, and I may have somebody with me, or I may not, but I'll be here, and I will lead you into Curious Times. Curious Times is on 10 to 12, and that show will hit the new year for at least the Eastern Seaboard. And so if not, I wish all of you a wonderful, wonderful new year. Keep me posted as to how things are changing for you, and come back and join us next Monday, 8 to 10, and next Wednesday, 8 to 10 as well. Good night, everybody, and thanks for being here. Bye-bye.